Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. I have just gotten off of an interview I pre-taped that I'll be releasing this afternoon with John O'Looney. Many of you maybe know who John is, not by name, but you'll know him when I describe him, because he is doing all the interviews he can. He is an undertaker in Great Britain. He is an undertaker in Great Britain. We just had a fascinating interview with him by television. We pre-taped it because of the time of day and between Great Britain and America. I will be releasing that later today, and I will just tell you a few things, and then we have some major breaking news. Sadly, it seems all too common now. And that is, we have one of our broadcast partners, the FBI, raided her home on Tuesday. I believe she is the first mom to have her home raided, as the Department of Justice and FBI warned they would start to go after parents as potential domestic terrorists. She was homeschooling her kids. She has been heavily involved in turning over the school boards in Colorado, confronting them over critical race theory, over mask mandates, and of course, election fraud. And the FBI literally used a battering ram and took down her door, manhandled her child, one of her kids, and handcuffed her for 30 minutes. This is your Gestapo now in America, KGB. This is ridiculous. It's absurd. And the charges that the things they were looking for and the reason why, it just sounds stupid. Just stupid. But I believe she is the first mom to be raided, as the Department of Justice and FBI said they were going to start doing. I have an article about it that Leo wrote for us, Leo Holman, at worldviewtimes.com. And you'll find that at worldviewtimes.com. And I had her last night on as a guest to talk about it. Literally breaking news, the first interview, and you don't want to miss checking that out when you have time. The article and the link to the interview is at worldviewtimes.com. I'm not going to backtrack and play all that here and everything because, again, there's so much happening. I can't spend a lot of time backtracking. I've just got to keep going forward. But I will get to that in a moment, and I would like to open up the phone lines for your response. Now, back to the I also will be releasing tomorrow night, today's Thursday, right? So tonight or tomorrow morning, I'll also be releasing my interview that I've been wanting to do for years with Robert Kennedy Jr. I will be interviewing Robert Kennedy Jr. I will release an article, and I will release that recording in the next 24 hours on his new book about Fauci. So there's so much to get to, but let's go back to John O'Looney in Great Britain. John is an undertaker, as I said, and you have seen him doing a lot of interviews around the world, literally. And so I reached out to him via email and immediately was able to make contact with him. I was shocked at how he responded within minutes. And we secured him for this interview, pre-taping it because of the time change between America and Great Britain. I wanted to tell you, before I release that interview later today at WVWTV.com, what he said. He said that they are seeing in their industry young people dying. Many people dying in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. So far, he saw a 28-year-old. He used her name, said that the family would not care if he used her name because they are so angry. And blood clots are seeming to be the common theme. He said that it is well known in the industry with many undertakers that these young people that are dying, their blood has turned to the equivalent of glue, turns the blood to glue. And this, of course, is why you're seeing so many of them die of strokes and aneurysms, etc., right? He also mentioned, and these names mean nothing to most of us here in the United States, he mentioned leading scientists in Great Britain, people that have worked inside the government, many people that were developing vaccines. So these were not anti-vaxxers, he said, that were at a meeting that he happened to be allowed to be at around a table as some of these leading scientists presented to a man who's heavily involved in picking who is in government over there. They presented to him their warning. They were warning him what was coming if this did not stop. He said by looking him in the eyes, he knew that this man already knew what they were saying, and nothing has changed since. He spoke of one of the hosts of the meeting walking this man, this prominent man, out to his car, and he walked back into the meeting, and he said that he explained to this well-known mover and shaker in Great Britain that the people of Great Britain are figuring this out. And when they figure this out, you're going to have civil unrest. You might even have a civil war over this because they are going to figure out you guys knew this and you killed their children and grandchildren. You guys committed mass murder. He said that the man that walked this gentleman out to the car, the gentleman responded, "We are aware of this. We're shocked it hasn't already happened, and we have made provisions for such." And he said he believes that involves bringing in some of the military of the European Union as peacekeepers. He went on to describe that children are being sterilized, that he knows for a fact that this is sterilizing children. And he then described the fact that there's no way he would ever take this, ever. Now, he runs a funeral home business. The vast majority of the people that they bring in, I guess that's more common over there than here in America, but the vast majority of them are cremated. But he said that if he does not get the vax, he may very well soon not be able to go out and pick up the deceased. And that would mean he's out of business, unless he quickly offers a service of cremation only and doesn't go out and pick up the deceased. He just runs a business where he cremates. He says he is getting phone calls from high government people thanking him, people in the British intelligence thanking him, and telling him that they're glad he's speaking up. He says he gets phone calls regularly from other people in the funeral home and undertaker business that appreciate him. And some of them, when he's asked, "Well, why don't you speak up?" he said they tell him they are afraid. They're afraid to speak up. They're afraid to speak up, and so they don't, but they're thankful he is speaking up. John mentioned his great respect for Ronald Reagan. He mentioned his great respect for America, and he said that America is one of our only hopes, that if America goes down, Great Britain's going to go with it. Well, I believe that's exactly the plan, to bring down America. They cannot roll into the New World Order, their words, not mine, with America being this beacon of freedom and liberty. Ronald Reagan, quoting others, described America as a city on a hill, a beacon that shines forth the light of liberty. And Reagan said, if the light goes out here, it goes out everywhere. I am in now daily contact with Sam, who I've interviewed. You guys have seen that probably in Australia. Australia is under incredible tyranny now. So now I'm communicating with someone from Great Britain, an undertaker. I'm communicating with Sam in Australia. And it looks as though what is happening over there is going to increasingly happen here. But John O'Toole, the undertaker in Great Britain that is doing all kinds of interviews, and I asked him why he was doing this. He says because of his love for people, and particularly he cannot stand the burden of not trying to warn people when it comes to what it is going to do to people's children and grandchildren. And he said, your children are just as important as my children, and if I know this, I have a responsibility to speak up and speak out. He said that his grandfather fought in World War II. He said what these folks are doing is against the Nuremberg Code. And this man was clearly a man of history. We spoke about the Great Reset. We spoke about the World Economic Forum. I asked him about the supply chain crisis in Great Britain, and I explained what's happening here in America. That right now we're down, according to the CEO of a trucking company I interviewed out of Chicago. I've interviewed twice now, interviewed him again about, a week ago? That on a level right now, nationally, we're down about 25% when it comes to truckers. And I explained the fact that this is creating a supply chain crisis, but of course this is a manufactured crisis. And he 100% agreed with that. And he said they're having the same problem there. And then he said, I told him, I said, you know the World Economic Forum, you know who they are? Oh yes, the Great Reset. He said, this is it. And he said what his views were of Klaus Schwab. He thinks these people should be arrested, obviously, tried. But I said, I believe that when you speak of people rising up, that maybe you speak of civil unrest and civil war in your own country there in Great Britain. I said, I believe that, and have been telling my audience, when that day comes that globally people are awake and realize that our own national leaders in all industries, the religious industry who are pushing the shots, just as there is a quote church end quote up the street from our studio that has a big sign out front, one of those traffic control signs, construction signs, flashing lights about coming in and getting your COVID shot. You know they're being paid. They have to be being paid. So from religious leaders, and by the way, what's going on with Franklin Graham? Did Franklin Graham take the jab? Did Franklin Graham just have inflammation of the heart? Because he just had heart surgery, didn't he? Is that related to the jab? I'm asking questions. I'm not making statements. What's going on? Franklin, you have an obligation to tell us the truth. Did you get the shot? What shot did you get? How many did you get? And is this any way connected to the shot? Franklin, you have an obligation to tell us. Particularly since I've seen reports that your own organization, Samaritan's Purse, has been going around helping deliver this. Just as I predicted in my book, Marxianity, that many of these so-called religious and evangelical groups would become social service providers for local, state, and federal government and make tons of money. And that book came out in November of 2018. So we already saw this coming. We just didn't know about COVID yet. I went on to explain that the World Economic Forum has already practiced for a global cyber attack, and that I believe when enough people around the world have awakened that we have been deceived by leaders at all levels, our economic leaders, our religious leaders, our political leaders, our health leaders, our doctors, many of us, that when all this is said and done, there will be an uprising globally that this has been mass murder. And I said, and I believe that's when they have a few options. One of them is to control people with food and a manufactured food crisis to control people. Number two, a global cyber attack. And if you guys want to show the screen in there, look at this, guys. World Economic Forum warns of cyber attack that will collapse existing financial system. This is an article, September 3rd, 2021. I don't know if you guys can see the screen or not. If not, during the break, we'll fix that. Here is a Carnegie Endowment. International strategy to better protect the financial system against cyber threats. They have already, as Archbishop Vigano said, they have already studied and they've already planned a global cyber attack. Let me tell you something. The same folks telling you to be worried about a pandemic and then it happens, tell you there's going to be a cyber attack or are preparing for one, that should make your blood run cold. Now we have news breaking today of monkeypox in Maryland. We'll get to that when we come back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. So Franklin Graham undergoes heart surgery at Mayo Clinic. That is what we're reading on ABC News. And here we go. Here you go if you want to show this, guys. In recent months, according to the news release, the son of the late evangelist Billy Graham had developed constrictive pericarditis, inflammation, and hardening of the sac around the heart that compresses the heart and prevents it from working properly. Now, the question is, did this happen after his shot? Did he get the COVID shot? And is this a result of the COVID shot? I believe Franklin Graham has an obligation. Most people have a right to privacy with their health. And I would never pry in someone's personal health. But if Franklin Graham's organization, Samaritan's Purse, as we have read from news reports, and if those are not accurate, then they need a request that those news reports be corrected. But we have pictures and we have reports and have for many, many weeks now that Samaritan's Purse was involved early on in helping to deliver shots, the COVID shot. So if Samaritan's Purse is pushing the shot, and if Franklin took the shot and he is vax injured, I believe because he was pushing the shot and providing for it, according to news reports, Samaritan's Purse was, that he heads, then I believe he has an obligation to tell us, yes, I got the shot, this is connected to that, and people ought to know and have full disclosure as much as possible to decide, well, do I want to take the shot now or not? So I think he has an obligation to tell us about this. But there's that report. Now let's go back to this other one. The World Economic Forum warns of cyber. Before I get to monkeypox, just breaking first case, I guess, in the U.S. World Economic Forum warns of cyber attack that will collapse existing financial system. And again, this is from September. A report published last year by the World Economic Forum, Carnegie Cyber Policy Institute, calls for the merging of the Wall Street banks, their regulators, intelligence agencies as necessary to confront an allegedly imminent cyber attack that will collapse the existing financial system. All right, this report came out in November of 2020. The World Economic Forum and Carnegie Endowment for International Peace co-produced a report that warned that the global financial system was increasingly vulnerable to cyber attacks. Yeah, no kidding, Sherlock. The ominous report was published just months after the World Economic Forum had conducted a simulation of that very event, a cyber attack that brings the global financial system to its knees. In partnership with Russia's largest bank, which is due to jumpstart the country's economic digital transformation with the launch of its own central bank-backed digital currency. Now, we reported on this some time ago when it happened, but so much happens we need to have reminders. These are some of the same players when you talk about the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates and these people. These are some of the same players that were running, you know, Event 201 in October of 2019 before the COVID pandemic. Don't forget the Rockefellers were the ones that put out the 2010 report, Lockstep, that looks and reads just like the breakout of COVID and shutting down of businesses, empty businesses and malls and people running around wearing face masks. And of course, you have people making patents for a supposed vaccine, right? So this seems to be highly planned and prepared. Now, if these same yahoos are telling you that a cyber attack is coming, you might want to believe them. And I told John O'Looney from the man who runs a family business. He's an undertaker in Great Britain. I interviewed him just moments ago. I got off the air with him. I didn't get off the air. I pre-recorded it. I got done interviewing him about 10 minutes before coming on this show. I will release that recording for television later this afternoon or this evening, probably this evening. I'll release it at WVWTV.com. But he and I agreed that if you're going to have civil strife, civil unrest, and maybe civil war, as he is, he's the one that brought this up about Great Britain. I absolutely agree. Then I said a cyber attack, a well-timed cyber attack and a financial collapse globally would take care of all these people in America, Great Britain, Austria, Australia, wherever, that are going to probably rise up and say, you murdered our family members. You knew this was going to happen. And by the way, we know from the FDA's own report, everything we see as the consequence of the vaccine was already in that report. What was it? Slide 12, slide 16. We have the screenshot of the FDA warning about the consequences of the vax. It's these very things, like the swelling around the heart, blood clots, etc. So this means you're talking now about mass murder. But remember now, psychological projection kicks in. And what is the head of Pfizer saying on video? Those putting out the disinformation are criminals. I'm sorry, sir. In my opinion, you're the criminal. So we discussed that. So when they start warning you about a world economic collapse through a cyber attack, you might want to pay attention, because these people have a track record of warning you about things that then all of a sudden happen, which happens to be to their benefit. Now, if we go to my screenshot, worldviewreport.com, worldviewreport.com, here's where I put all the news aggregation, you know, stories. Many of them we don't even have time to get to, so you should be checking that page, worldviewreport.com. But here is this one here. Rare contagious monkeypox virus appears in Maryland after a patient returned from overseas travel. Monkeypox. And there you can see this Yahoo News or USA Today article that includes, as you see here, the electron microscopic image depicted a monkeypox virus contained from a clinical sample associated with the 2003 prairie dog outbreak. Now, the article declares that a case of monkeypox was confirmed in Maryland Tuesday night after a traveler returned to the United States from Nigeria. Monkeypox is a rare but potentially serious viral illness that typically begins with flu-like symptoms and swelling of the lymph nodes and progresses to a widespread rash on the face and body. Well, I sure hope I don't get that, because it'll be hard to appear on television if I've got a rash all over my face. I guess that would be the least of my worries. It comes from a strain that has been re-emerging from Nigeria. Isn't that interesting? It comes from a strain that's been re-emerging from Nigeria since 2017 after 40 years with no reported cases, according to laboratory scientists from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, one has to wonder, how convenient? How convenient. It hasn't been around for 40 years, no reported cases. And then all of a sudden, 2017, it starts showing up, re-emerging from Nigeria. One has to wonder, what was Dr. Evil? Has Dr. Evil been in his laboratory mixing his concoction, his brew? Is this going to be a planned release? Is the narrative now being set? Oh, it came from Nigeria. You mean like it came from the wet market in Wuhan? Lie. So maybe, I'm not saying, maybe these reports are absolutely 100% true, but maybe we also ought to realize we could be being set up. Because what's ironic is, what's Bill Gates been running around saying? Billy has been running around talking about smallpox, a breakout of smallpox. So I started researching monkeypox and other animal poxes, and apparently this is something that some of these guys are also warning about and different groups are warning about. And it seems to be a little more serious than the COVID. But when Bill Gates is running around telling you he's worried about smallpox, and these clowns are running around telling you worry about a cyber attack that brings down the whole economy globally, you might want to pay attention, because they have a way of telegraphing their plans and even running scenarios and tabletop exercises. Just thought you might want to know. Those with monkeypox are likely to have lesions. And travelers returning from Nigeria should watch out for symptoms. Because of the health risk associated with a single case of monkeypox, the CDC has had asked clinicians to report the cases immediately to state or local public health authorities, regardless of whether they are also exploring other potential diagnoses. People can catch monkeypox by coming in contact with infected animals or animal products, including by preparing wild game or being bitten or scratched by an animal, according to the CDC. Is monkeypox contagious? Yes, but it depends on what stage you're in. Monkeypox has three stages, according to the CDC. The first stage is an incubation period where the virus takes hold right after the person is infected. It can range from 5 to 21 days. The person is not contagious at this point. The second stage is the prodrome phase, where the person shows early symptoms and could be contagious. These include fever, malaise, headache, sore throat, and cough and swollen lymph nodes. The third stage is a rash, when lesions develop on the mouth and body of the person until all the scabs have fallen off. The person will be contagious. The whole stage can last about 3 weeks. Experts believe human-to-human transmission of monkeypox occurs primarily through large respiratory droplets. Oh, doesn't that sound familiar? Travelers on the flight to the United States were required to wear a mask on the plane as well as in the U.S. airports due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, lowering the risk of the monkeypox virus spreading to others on the plane. However, it's still possible that the patient infected others before boarding or after departing the plane. Well, I want to know how deadly is it. Currently, there is no proven safe treatment for monkeypox virus infection. That's what the article says. But you just wait. Someone will come up with a very expensive, quote, vaccine, end quote. Doesn't tell me anything about the, do you die from this? What's the death rate on this? But I just thought you'd find that interesting. Let me flip over to this article right here. CEO of American Trucking Association reveals 37% of truckers will not comply with a vaccine mandate. The consequences would collapse the supply chains and civic society. Now, this is, again, coming from the head of a trucking organization. I don't know if we can play this. Let's see if we can play this, guys. Let's see if this audio works.
When we're talking about how the drivers would feel about a vaccine mandate, what kind of reactions are you getting from them on that? Just all of them required for a vaccine to do business.
Yeah, I want to be clear and qualify this, that this isn't about being pro or anti-vax for us. We've been moving the vaccine, PPE and test kits. So this is something our industry is very forward leaning on. But in our sample survey of our fleets, it came back as 37% of our drivers not only said no, but hell no.
Sorry about that,
now,
guys.
Let's just take
dump
a conservative
that.
Number. Let's just say 3.7%, not 37%. We're to actually.
Let me just stop. We dumped that. Okay, the guy used a cuss word. Okay, we'll keep going here.
Leave rather than get the vaccine. That'd be catastrophic. We're already short 80,000. That's going to inflate to 250,000. So for us, we've tried to be very clear with the administration that if you do this, I understand the logic behind it, but if you do this, these are the consequences. So if you're trying to solve the supply chain problem, you're actually compounding it and actually hurting the very problem that you're trying to fix on the vaccine side. So, be careful what you wish for here. I also don't think, Congressman, that OSHA has the jurisdiction to do this.
Well, isn't that interesting? He's talking to a congressman. That was an interview. It was CEO Chris Speer. This is during a House Transportation Committee hearing. So this is during an official congressional hearing. During a House Transportation Committee hearing on supply chain issues, CEO Chris Speer shares an internal survey showing that 37% of truck drivers will not take the vax. To give some perspective of the downstream consequences, the ATA president noted that if 3.7% of the drivers left the industry, there would be over a quarter million vacancies resulting in a catastrophic collapse of the U.S. supply chain. Mr. Speer also shared his opinion that OSHA rules is completely unworkable and lawful. Now look, 3.7% means a quarter million vacancies. Well, if you have 37% walk off, what does this mean? The consequences are grave if just 3.7 did not work. However, if 10 times that many, 37% of truck drivers stopped hauling products because of the Biden vaccine requirement, American civil society would collapse within days as panicked citizens took to the streets. By the way, the company I deal with for freeze-dried food, it's going. to the case related to the mom, which I believe is America's first mom, raided by the FBI since the October 4th Department of Justice memorandum. Before I get to that, and that interview is on my website now at WVWTV.com, and the FBI used a battering ram and came in on her, handcuffed her for 30 minutes while they took her phones and stuff. And she was homeschooling her kids, and she claimed that they grabbed her daughter, her teenage daughter, and manhandled her up the stairs, dragging her by her hoodie. So this is unfortunately, you know, how ironic that I just did a town hall meeting a week ago today with four retired FBI agents, and they're warning about the fact that these SWAT team raids are not acceptable. They would have never done that in their day. This is completely wrong. And then within a couple of days, one of my broadcast partners that I interview regularly, Sharona, has her house broken into by the FBI. She's cuffed, some of her computers and phones taken, and her kids are manhandled, or at least one of them. She was in tears, as you can imagine. She reached out to us and wanted to tell the story. And of course, I was glad we could tell it. And I have an article at worldviewtimes.com, worldviewtimes.com, about it, with it embed of the 30 some odd minute interview I did with her. I will tell you a little bit more about that. But first, let me just mention what I was saying before the break. I went last night to order more freeze-dried food, and the company that I order from, which has been producing it since 1969, and they run their plant 24/7, particularly since the supply chain that we all, you know, crisis we all experienced in the grocery stores in 2020, when we had a hard time getting hamburger meat and a can. I mean, I don't know, maybe you didn't experience that, but we did here in the Memphis area. I don't know many of you did, but we would go to the store and we would have to wait for meat, and the meat guy would come in and it would be gone within an hour. And I would say to the meat man, "When do you think you're getting meat?" "Well, I should be putting some out about 4 o'clock tomorrow. If you're here tomorrow at 4, you can probably get some. But if you wait by 5, it'll be gone." Sure enough, 4 o'clock the next day, I show up and I get the full limit of what I can get. And I was with one of the first people there. And he said, "Oh, this will all be gone within, you know, the next 90 minutes or so." And you guys remember that, right? And I was having a hard time even finding cans of chicken noodle soup or macaroni and cheese, you know, just different things. There's such staples that, you know, that you can find tons of that, right? We all experienced that. It wasn't just the toilet paper and the paper towels. Well, of course, we've been talking about this kind of crisis for a long time, and that's why I bought enough for my family in 2013 and then fell over into this as a way to help, you know, me buy more equipment and whatnot. And so when it happened, the company that I deal with, they went to 24/7 manufacturing. I mean, they have huge contracts. I think they have contracts with the government. So they have huge contracts, I'm told, and this is the choice of many Navy SEALs. So this is a big, big company, been around since 69. Well, for a while there, during the COVID, the height of it, you could wait days to get another massive, or, you know, good order in of 2 or 3 pallets. So I've been talking to them, as I do regularly, and they've been telling me what's happening. So late last night, I went on the page that is for, you know, people that are dealers, and there's all these black boxes. The boxes are black. Well, the boxes that are black, they're black because they've closed the box. That's where I put in a number. I want 100 boxes or 50 boxes of that entree. Black, 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 black. And I'm going through this, and I actually had to call my wife in the room, and I said, "Look at this. Look at this. So I had to have her advice, okay, because now I've got to pick certain entrees, and, you know, she's good at this and what people will like. She's going through and telling me I would get this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. But the point I'm making is this is one of the biggest suppliers of freeze-dried food in the country, and maybe they'll catch up in the next week or two. I'll let you know. But they're going black. Their boxes where you fill in the amount and make an order are being turned black, which means it's a dead link. It's a dead box. You can't put a number in there. You can't order that. They're out. You can't order it. And there are other items that you could usually order unlimited. You can get 25 entrees of that, or 25 boxes of that with 6 entrees in a box. So you get 25 boxes of that. But that's it. We won't let you get more than that. So they're starting to ration it. Now, again, maybe they'll catch up. Maybe they won't. I was able to put in the biggest order I've ever done, but I had to be selective. very selective and the normal things that I would normally gone. Why am I telling you this? Because I am telling you this because we are seeing the signs again. And that's one of the things we study here is trends, right? So what are the trends I'm seeing right now? I'm seeing a few trends. We're seeing freeze-dried food industry start to have stress again in their ability to keep up, even though they're going 24/7. We're seeing gold and silver head back up to highs. That tells you something. See, all of these things tell you something. They're all barometers. One in of itself may mean not a whole lot. But when you start collectively, gold today, as we're on the air, is at $1,860. Silver is at $24.92. So we're headed to the 1900 range. We're headed to the $25 range on gold and silver. So this, again, is what I'm trying to explain to you, is when you see this uptick in gold and silver, the American people are picking up on inflation. People are looking for a hedge. They're picking up on just-in-time inventory, supply chain crisis, truckers not going out. And the American people are waking up. They're preparing. But at the same time, they're preparing to be independent. They're preparing not to be under the thumb of the globalist by having all of their money in digits in a bank that can be turned on or turned off. And they're moving into precious metals for safeguard, some doing it as a hedge against inflation, others because they don't want to be under the thumb of the government. We also have someone who is inside the government for Biden up for being comptroller of the U.S. And what is she talking about? She's talking about getting rid of personal bank accounts. She's talking about getting rid of personal bank accounts. Here it is. Republicans to reveal Biden's banking nominees. Radical vision to close Americans' bank accounts. Okay, that's it. That's at worldviewreport.com. Brings us to an article over at Breitbart. And what do we read? Senate Banking Committee Republicans plan to hold to highlight how this Salih Omarova, I'm sorry, occupier Joe Biden's comptroller nominee. She has written academic papers calling for the government to abolish private sector banking and put all banks into the Federal Reserve, all bank accounts into the Federal Reserve. The Senate Banking will hold a hearing, which should be today at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, to consider the qualifications of this woman, a Cornell law professor, to become the comptroller of the U.S. currency. Senate Banking Republicans said they plan to highlight just how radical she is. Quote, we have never in my lifetime, and I think in the lifetime of many members of this committee, which runs up to 35 years, seen a nominee just for a regulatory spot who was so openly hostile to the industry that he or she would be responsible for regulating, end quote, a senior Senate GOP aide said Tuesday. The aide said, we have a nominee who has, quote, talked openly and repeatedly about forbidding banking and that entire sector of the economy, end quote. During a March conference, she discussed one of her papers titled The People's Ledger, How to Democratize Money and Finance the Economy, in which she calls for the destruction of all private sector banks by mandating the transfer of all bank deposits to Fed accounts at the Federal Reserve. During her conference speech, she said, quote, there will be no more private bank accounts and all of the deposit accounts will be held directly at the Fed, end quote. She said she wants to see the bankruptcy of companies in the fossil fuel industry to pave the way for climate change policies. Well, can you imagine what fuel prices will cost in trucking and food? Did you hear what that CEO, that businessman said about the Biden administration? They have been warned that if you do these mandates, 37% of the truckers say they're not going to take the shot. Again, if the math is to be believed, if just 3.7% walked off, that's 250,000 slots opened up with no truckers. What happens if you have 37% walk off? When you already have 25% supposedly missing. And they were told this is what will happen. And they seem like they're going to go forward anyway. Why? Because this is all a planned collapse. What have I been telling you on Sunday nights? The great collapse is necessary for the great reset. Now you know why gold and silver is going up. In part, people are buying it, even though it's being bought, I believe, on paper and dumped on paper to bring the price back down so that it doesn't give a warning sign. But not only that, central banks are rushing in and buying it. We know that central banks are loading up on precious metals. They don't want to hold this paper junk. And so I believe they buy in paper. They have groups buy in paper. They dump the paper when the price starts to go up. They rush in on the dump, on the decline, buy up more, and they keep this game going. Otherwise, I think if there wasn't manipulation, it'd be much higher. But at some point, they're not going to be able to keep this rigged game going. So we see it with what's happening with emergency food companies. And this is not unique to the company I deal with. This is unique across the board. I've been checking with others. We're seeing it in the emergency food supply. American people are waking up. We're seeing it in the precious metals. The American people are waking up. We see it in their denial to get the vax. The American people are waking up. We see it in the fact that they are buying weapons and ammunition in incredible numbers. The American people are waking up. We see it in the fact that many are leaving major cities and buying, including young millennials, buying houses that need fixing up out in the middle of nowhere. They're getting out of big cities. I talked to a friend last night from Minneapolis. He told me that if you went to downtown Minneapolis, it's like a ghost town. It's like a ghost town. He says that some of the owners of some of the sports teams there tried before the whole street riots, you know, that occurred in 2020. They tried telling him there was a rise in crime that was going to be detrimental to the businesses and their businesses, sports team owners, for people to come downtown Minneapolis. Well, after that, apparently, again, I ain't going to downtown Minneapolis. I'm staying out of the People's Republic of Minnesota. I have no intentions of ever, ever returning to that state unless I have very, very good reason to. I mean, it has to be super big reason to ever step foot back in that state after living there for 20 some odd years. I don't even want to go to Illinois. Their gun laws are so stupid and ridiculous, I don't feel safe going to that state. And when I have had to travel to that state, I've had to, at some occasions, I've actually had to hire a private security guy who's an off-duty cop who has the ability to carry his weapon through Illinois, because the laws there in that state are so stupid that you don't feel safe coming into that state with those liberal prosecutors and what they might do with your handgun. And I know what your state laws say about, you know, you can have your gun in your car, but then you got to lock it up and all this other stupid stuff. But look at the map. There's a reason a lot of people drive around Illinois. But you can't even go to downtown Minneapolis. You don't even want to go to downtown Minneapolis, apparently, according to my friend I talked to last night. He's like, you wouldn't believe it. It's just like a ghost town down there. And these buildings are for sale. They're like, we can have our workforce working from home. We don't have to have these big, expensive buildings. Just dump them. I'm talking to a friend of mine that owns a building with a lot of employees. He told me last week, and they've had this building for years. He says, we're looking to sell the building, downsize. Our people are really happy and they're productive working from home. We can dump this building, this commercial building, dump it, go to something much, much smaller. But look at the transformation in society. The warning signs are blinking. And then all of a sudden, you wake up one day, there's a cyber collapse. Yeah, it was all planned. Phone lines open. All right, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. I want your thoughts, your comments, your feedback. I won't have time to get into this article, but if you go to worldviewreport.com, you'll see it. If you guys want to show the screenshot. America's first mom raided by FBI since October 4th, Department of Justice memorandum. She fought against voter fraud, critical race theory, and forced masking in schools. And what happened on Tuesday? The FBI used a battering ram, broke her door down while she was homeschooling her kids, and put her in cuffs for 30 minutes. And the whole thing is just stupid. You should go read the article and embed it as my interview with her. What's ironic is I couldn't see it when I was interviewing her, but I blew up the picture like I'm doing right now. And what do you see on the verse in the back of the wall behind her? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. You know what's so ironic? That verse actually is about persecution. A lot of people say, well, you know, I can do anything through Christ, meaning, you know, you can slam dunk a basketball. Bro, probably not. I mean, that's not what the verse is meant to be used. The context of the verse is I can endure persecution. I can endure this. I can do this because Christ will strengthen me to go through it. Look at who's writing it. The Apostle Paul. It has to do with persecution. How ironic that the verse on the wall right behind her is about, I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. And there's the verse right on the back of the wall back there. And so you guys can watch the full interview. There it is right there. You guys can watch the full interview at WVWTV.com and read about this. But I believe she's the first mom. I believe she's the first mom to experience that. It's very, very sad. All right, let's go to the phone lines. You can pull that down, guys. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829 is the number. Let me log into my call screener. Here we go. Barbara, line one. Barbara in Kansas. Thanks for calling in, Barbara.
Hi, this is Barbara. Thank you for taking my call. I had heard you say earlier that you wondered if Franklin Graham had taken the vaccine. I've got a letter in my hand right now from Samaritan's Purse dated July 9th, 2021. I had written to say, why is Dr. Fauci pulling the shots at Samaritan's Purse? And that was based on what Dr. Graham had said. Well, it turns out that it says in paragraph 3 of this letter that he did choose to receive the vaccine.
Wow. Wow. Is there any way you could screenshot that with your phone? Do you have like an iPhone or?
No, I don't. I don't. But I can send you a copy.
Yes. Would you?
I will do that.
Let me give you my P.O. box. You ready?
Yes, I do have that ready.
Okay. It's P.O. box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. I would love to have a copy of that. I'd love to talk about that on the air and show that because, I mean, what a great call, Barbara. Thank
you. And tell me again your zip code.
38027. 38027.
And Collier is Collier?
Uh-huh. Ville, yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Well, thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
God bless you.
You too, Barbara. Thank you. So now that we know that from a letter that she has received from that organization, I think, you know, Franklin needs to come out and talk about this. And just say, hey, look, I took the shot, and yes, we were, you know, promoting it according to news reports. That's what they were saying. I think he has an obligation to come out and talk about this. Let's go to Jim in Joplin, Missouri, line 4. Jim, thank you for calling in. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, Brandon. Thanks for taking my call today. Really, this is a quick two-part question. Number one, I work for probably one of the top 3 food-producing companies on Earth, which I'll not use their name on air today. But I've been there 23 years, and since all of this started with the Biden vaccine mandates, they, up to this point, they've been virtually silent. Up until last week, they're saying, well, further directives will be coming from our leadership team at headquarters. And I was just wondering if you could figure out why they've been so silent on it. And number two, with all of this information coming out, a friend of mine has been sending me screenshots where at least 2 federal judges have put stays on this mandate.
Yes.
Do you think that'll have any effect on this or not?
Stay with me. Let me answer the last one first. I think it can have an absolute effect. If these judges and the courts get behind this, have a huge, huge thing that's very, very helpful. Yes. What was your first question? I didn't quite understand the first question.
Well, I work for a food producing company, one of the top 3 largest on the planet. And they've all gone woke, of course. I mean, I see it in my corporate emails that I receive. But yet with the vaccine mandate, they've been virtually silent. Any take on why that might be?
Who has been silent?
Our headquarters.
Your headquarters. Well, my guess is your headquarters for this large food distribution company or food company is being silent because they're worried about the mandates, the 100 employees or more. They're worried about being made a target. They're worried about being politically incorrect. They're worried about, you know, upsetting anybody. You're selfish. You want to, you know, people are going to die. You know, I mean, it's a PR problem. I mean, even you notice that the guy that was warning about all the truckers walking off over the mandate noticed how he parsed those words of his that, you know,
yes.
You know, well, I'm not into that. Everybody's got to parse that. It's like it's so politically incorrect to be against it. When they before they start talking against the mandate, they have to first apologize or do a disclaimer of some kind. It's political correctness. Exactly what it is, Jim. Thanks for the call. Let's run quickly to Bruce in South Dakota. Bruce, thanks for calling in today, Bruce.
Go again.
Hi, Bruce. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, I just wanted to say that earlier report of that lady's house getting broke into by the FBI. It looks like to me that people are just going to have to start treating that as home invasion and take care of that problem, and maybe they'll be a little more hesitant in busting doors down.
Well, you know, Bruce, we're not for lawlessness, we're not for violence or anything, but we are for self-defense, and we are against tyranny. And I believe, Bruce, and I said this in the hearing the other day with these four retired FBI agents, that I believe that they are hoping for that response. And I think they are gaslighting the American people, and they're hoping for that kind of response. But I do believe the American people have a right, according to the laws of this nation, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature, nature's God, to defend themselves against unconstitutional, tyrannical dictatorships. Steve in Alabama, if you go quick, we'll get you in. Line 3, Steve, thanks for calling in from Alabama, Steve.
Yes, I wanted to ask if you have any idea what the tally is for the signatures on the petition.
The signatures for the petition are huge. The American people have gone. They've signed on to Mike Lindell's petition about his case going to the Supreme Court November 23rd. And I guess all we could do is pray that the Supreme Court will hear the case. I'm very good friends with one of the attorneys, if not he's really the lead attorney. I'm very eager to read the case because I know when he writes his lawsuits, they're highly instructive and historical. And we just have to pray that the Supreme Court will hear the case. Thank you to all of you for listening. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of America or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.